Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issue of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Issue of Today Talk Radio. I'm your host, Taj Longino, the new voice of the people. Right along with the co-host, Jackie Rules. What's going on, Jackie?
What's up, Taj? What's up, everybody?
Yeah. You know, we're coming live from Indianapolis, Indiana, Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today is August the 21st, 2008, and we're going to be talking about teens and sex this evening. Here in a few minutes, as soon as you know, if you want to call into the show, call in 347-326-9697, all right? And as we always do, we're going to get into the song of the day before we get into the show. And today's song is an old school song that I was featured on back in like 2000 or something like that when I was still rapping. And I did featured on a song by the artist by the name of Shorty Shortcut. The song's called Table Dance. All right? So check it out. That's going to be the song of the day. We're going to get right into the segment. So here's Shorty Shortcut featuring me. All right? The song's called Table Dance. You listen to Issues of Today Talk Radio.
Yeah, here's how the plan, here's what we're going to do, man. The plane touched down in Atlanta about 10:30, 11 o'clock. So what we finna do, we finna call up out to get the click and just go rolling the strip, you know what I'm saying? We're going to hit a Magic City, all that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, damn, you're looking good in your G-string, walk around half new, gyrating left and right, mind if a time, shot time hanging out, niggas keep on paying while you keep dancing, to the music that be playing, and I'm feeling kinda tipsy off a cola and rum, taking shots to the head with my legs feeling numb, yeah, I'm toe up, but not shown up, lost my senses and all that I can know, that this is down, blowing kisses in the corner with a leg spread, a voice in my head said, leave her alone, she's a hoe trying to get fed, $20 for a private lap dance, my nigga T said the bill said, make this dance last. Trying to get up, but drunk as a scuff. But somehow I made it over to the spot where she was. And the next thing I knew, we was both in the back. And I'm sitting there dancing with a hoe on my lap. Saying, hey, check it out, it was table dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You gotta keep it down to dance. Kissing two tie ties in the front of my face. Nipples going like milk does. I can feel the silk from my panties in my lap. About to make a nigga blow up. I was getting sprung. Ain't had none in a while. It was like foreplay to an innocent chap. That shit was wild. I didn't want the moment to end. But this hoe was more interested in making an end. And the next thing I knew, I'm in the back all alone. Sitting there by myself, reminiscing over hoes. And I felt like a sucker. It must have been a liquor that made me think to myself that I'm gonna sick. So I walked to the front where my niggas was green. I came home from Vegas with a pocket of winners. And the next thing I knew, they slipped me a ticket. And I think I'm gonna do it all over again. What? Baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby, girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You gotta keep it down, dance. I said, baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby, girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You got niggas down to dance, okay? I said, baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby, girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You got niggas down to dance, okay? Baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby, girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You got niggas down to dance, okay? Baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Tell me what I gotta do for a table dance. Baby, girl, don't quit, keep shaking that ass. You got niggas down to dance, okay? I said, baby, shake it up, you was paid to dance. Yeah, dance,
yeah. What's up, baby? You got Shorty Shortcut and T-Bird in the house, and they digging and talking about that. Shit, we got a few dollars and shit. I want to see you twerk something, though. We want to see you twerk something. You know what I'm saying? Take that ass for a player, too. You understand what I'm talking about? Shit, we just some pimps out here, baby. We ain't playing no motherfucking games. Suck some, drop some, shake some.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. That was Shorty Shortcut featuring me, a song I did with him back in like 2000. Called Table Dance. That was me doing the outro, and I did part of the chorus. All right, want to welcome everybody back to the show. Definitely call in 347-326-9697 if you want to discuss with us this issue of teens and sex. All right, this topic was created by Jackie, so we're going to get into this conversation here. Definitely rate the show as you're listening. Go through there, comment on the show, rate it. It helps us out, all right? Okay, so Jackie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, teens and sex. What was your, you came up with this topic, and so pretty much, like, what's your concerns, which I pretty much can dictate the obvious, like,
My main concern, I guess it's not so much of a concern as it is just basically just wanting to reach out to the young kids, and if they are listening, to let them know that they're not missing out on anything, they need to wait. Basically, I've come across a lot of people where we've had conversations with our kids, and they've had conversations with their kids, and everybody is just in such a hurry. You know, these young girls is giving it up so quickly, and these young boys is taking it so quickly, and they're so eager to just, that's all they want to do is it all day. And it's just, it bothers me because with the way that AIDS is within their age group, not just AIDS, but just STDs, period, it just really bothers me because I feel like they're not caring anymore about their lives. This is something very serious, and you go out and you meet these guys or you meet these girls and you're having sex with them, and then you die 5 or 6 years later, if it takes 5 or 6 years, 5 or 6 months, you know what I'm saying? And you look back and say, is it worth it?
I think what it is too, this is a different society than what it was when we was kids. It's
right.
A very sexist society now. Everything is evolved around sex, from commercials to movies to everything you see on the news, with all this MySpace and Black Planet and Facebook and all these internet dating sites and all these shows with Who Wants to Marry a Midget and all this kind of stuff. With all these things revolved around sex and relationships, it makes it, once you brainwash somebody for so long, it becomes a part of what they, what their thought process is, because that's all they see and that's all they hear. When you hear, listen to the radio news, okay, all songs on the radio is what about love, about sex. I want to make love in the club. My busted baby. even with R&B songs, everything is evolved around sex and love. Okay, then let's look at the news. Teachers sleeping with kids sleeping with teachers. Pastors sleeping with young boys, and that's all evolved around sex. Then you go to the movies. A lot of movies is evolved around nudity and sexual activity. You can look on your cable listing and find all kind of adult programs to look at. I read somewhere where the porno industry is a $1 billion industry.
Yeah,
and now you got porno on the internet. So everywhere you turn, you can find it. Everywhere you look, it is right there for you. So once you see it so much, you may not even really been thinking about it, but it's been thrown at you so much, and in the conversations in daily life. So, it's easy to get wrapped up in, starting to be attracted to it. And the way everybody's dressing nowadays, it's more of a reason why people are starting to really get, when kids are dressing in the 80s and even a little in the 90s, people had to, I'm just talking about my era when I grew up, people had clothes on. Young girls dressed fully clothed. Now, these young girls ain't wearing next to nothing. And okay. It's so easy to get turned on to sex these days because of the society that we have, and people and these teenagers really need to understand that. Like I see these all the time on these talk shows, and they be anxious to have kids, man. They don't understand what they really do not understand what that means. Besides the fact that you're doing outside of marriage, but if it happens outside of marriage, okay, it happened. But you really do not understand what you are giving up and the responsibility that you have to encounter in having
right.
a baby, and especially while you're still a teenager.
I mean, have you had a chance, Todd? I don't know. I just saw this yesterday. It was floating around my job. It's not quite YouTube, but it's like a little YouTube. I think it's called Run Something. I'm not quite for sure. But it's a little girl, and she had to be no more than probably 7, 8. I give her 9 at the most. She was a little kid. They were at a birthday party, and she's on this little boy, bouncing her butt, turning around, rolling on him. And when she went down on the ground, he went down with her, like he getting it from the back. And I'm sitting up here saying, you know, the parents, you can hear, and I'm not going to say the parents, the adults that were there telling her, uh-uh, don't stop, get it, girl, encouraging her to pop on this little boy. It was so sickening to me because, to me, that's not cute. There was nothing cute about that dance that that little girl did. I mean, nothing cute at all. And she's 7, 8, no more than 9 years old. And I can't think of the web, what it was on, but it was floating around my job yesterday. And I felt like, you know, if I knew who, first of all, the idiot was that recorded it, second of all, the ignorant-ass mama that allowed her daughter to do that. You see what I'm saying? Because to me, who is she getting it from? And it may not always be the videos that she's getting it from. She might be sitting at home watching mama do it. You know what I'm saying? That's not cute. That is so not cute. And you encourage her, get it, girl. And I mean, when she went down to the ground, the little boy got on, he done bent back like he tapping her butt, and he going down, you know, there was nothing cute about that at all. Nothing.
You know,
the
you gotta look at
locked up.
And then that's another thing, though. A lot of these parents are young.
Yeah.
So they still
that's
going through their
problem.
Phase.
Right. That's
yeah,
the biggest
still,
problem.
Yeah, they still going through their phase.
Because
so,
when you 30 and your child is 15, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all growing up together.
Exactly. So, and that's why a lot of, I believe parents have turned into more like friends than parents to these kids because they are on the same age as them. And give another 10 years and they all going to be going to the club together.
And I don't think I could ever be that parent. I've heard people say, you know, they go to the club and do this with their child and do that. I don't think
it's a line that has to be drawn.
If you're 30, I might can go to the club with you. That's because you're 30. But if you're 21, I'm not chilling at the club with you. I don't want to be at the club with you because you turned 21. My mother didn't do it with me, and I'm not going to do it with mine.
I mean, even at 30, my dad is like 56 years old. I'm 29. Man, I mean, never stepped into no bar together or nothing like that. And, you know, it's just a certain line that just doesn't get crossed
right.
With parents and kids. You know, people don't have that anymore. People just, it's whatever goes. You know, like I hear some people say, "Well, I talked to my mother about everything." Well, you know what? There's a line to be drawn with that too, because you can't talk to your about every aspect of you know, or your life. Certain things is just your business. Certain things that you need to reveal. Certain things need to be kept to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, and people get in the habit of like talking about, you know, cussing in front of their parents and smoking weed in front of their parents and drinking in front of their parents. This ain't one of your homies.
Yeah.
This ain't one of your girls out there. You know,
but that's where you start to lose your respect. That's where the respect starts
to
leave.
Now, I tell you where you lose the respect to as well. You lose the respect when your kid is calling you by your first name. Too many times I've witnessed. I'm using proper English. I have witnessed kids calling their mothers by their first name, and nobody's getting chin checked about that.
Right.
You
know,
go back.
My son tries it every now and again, and when I check him, like, "Oh, Mom, I was just playing." Okay, well, understand. You don't call me Jackie. That's not my name.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. If you want to call into the show, call in at 347-326-9697 as we talk about teens and sex. And definitely rate the show, comment on the show after the show is over, while the show is going on, and take the polls and everything. Let's go to the phone line here. And thanks for calling to Issues Up Today Talk Radio. What's your question or comment?
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going?
Good. No, this black civilization in the chat room. Y'all on... you know, on point, you know, you know, when you talk about it, it's no respect, you know, and when parents are that young, they are not taught. You know, you can't, what can, if a 15-year-old have a baby, you know, what can she teach that baby, you know?
Right.
Because what she looked and see what her mother is doing. And that's the case, you know. We have lost connection with the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and communication, and you remember, you know, I think our ancestors have done us wrong in a sense. You know, sometimes we speak about going back and what our ancestors did. But if you look and you used to go to family reunions, you see brothers and sisters meeting for the first time almost the same age because somebody already went out there before and they put up with it. You see? Yeah. You know, you had another brother or sister in a different state by somebody else, and all of a sudden everybody, you know, you're 20, your brother is 18 or 19, or your sister is 18 or 19. What's been happening?
Right. You know?
And that's what it is. So we have to change the whole dynamics of the thing and start teaching, you know, coming back into the community and into the schools and teaching these individuals about morale and different things like that, because the churches and different things has become irrelevant, right?
And I think you hit it on the key word, caller, when you said morale, because it's a lot of them, they don't have no morals at all, period, from the beginning to the end. So that was the key word right there, morale.
Yeah, I'm a single father, you know what I'm saying, and for 13 years. My wife passed away 13 years ago, and the kids were 3, 5, and 9. Now they're 23, 18, and 16. You know, oldest son in college is a senior. Youngest son is sitting up there. He just enrolled in college about 3-4 weeks ago, right, and a 16-year-old daughter, you understand? So, you know, and I always tell people this. I said, for me personally, in 13 years, they had never seen a woman cross that line and come into this house to stay here, to get up, to eat breakfast, to do anything. You know, it's a respect between parents and kids.
Right.
You know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, good morning, I love you before you leave, and so on and so forth. So we have to teach. And if we don't teach the kids that, you know, they become a lost commodity.
Exactly. And, you know, it all really, you know, a lot of people do not believe this, but it starts at home. You know, I used to be that parent to where, you know, my kids don't live with me, you know. So when my kids come over for the weekend, I don't have that much time with them. I have, 3 days? The weekend, and they go back home on Sunday. So I was disciplining them while they was here and correcting them. But I was more concerned about having at least a good time, because I didn't have a lot of time, so I didn't want to. I felt like drilling them for 3 days straight, really, I thought that was almost like not fair. So I didn't have a lot of time with. So I was really trying to make sure they had a good time before they at least went back home. But over the years, I learned that was a big mistake. So I'm correcting all that stuff now. I think a lot of parents, man, they're more worried about, you know, PlayStation, SpongeBob, you know, what new dance you learned, what new song you can remember. And nobody's reading books constantly. Nobody's studying homework and getting prepared for that. Nobody is really drilling into the kids these days the biggest word to me, and that's respect. Respect
right.
for your parents, respect for elderly people, respect for love, you know, thy neighbor, teachers. I mean, I don't will not see these young kids today. People can say what they want, but I see so many of them being so disrespectful that it's unbelievable, man, to where you almost got to treat these kids like they're grown-ups, because these kids will bust your heads as quick as these grown-ups will now. Because
that's what you got to do.
They have that much aggression. Let me go to the phone line. We just got another caller in. Hey, thanks for calling to Issues of Today Talk Radio. What's your question or comment? Caller. 513. All right. And so respect. I mean, that's first and foremost. Because
they don't have, you know, we have to get back that. But we see, for me personally, when my son was in high school, the second one before he left. And my daughter, you know, they went to almost the same high school in junior high school. When I walk up in there, you know, the kid's talking about, hey, McKinley, hey, Bray, there go your dad. You understand what I'm saying? How you doing, Mr. Noel? Those are the same kids that, you know, want to try to put their pants down and so on and so forth. And they know me. I tell them in a heartbeat. You know, we have a problem. You know, our parents and the adults have a problem. We can go to football and basketball games with our kids and shout and do all that, right? But we cannot come into the schools and see how they're doing.
We're not even know so much doing that. This whole thing about teens and sex. Now, Jackie, you're a woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take you back a couple of years.
Okay.
And ask you, as a young girl, do you even remember those, you know, a lot of those years about what was going through your mind at a teenage and when you was a teenager?
When I was a teenager, I was so tomboyish. I was more or less, I wanted to play football with the boys. I ran track. You know, I was more into being athletic. I was brought up in a single-parent home, and my mom, as well as my aunts and uncles, had instilled a lot in me to where I was really scared to have sex. You see what I'm saying? Because I didn't want to get caught. Not only did I not want to get caught, I didn't want because the way our situation went in my household is it was a village that raised us, okay? If I got in trouble at home, and my mom called my aunts or my uncles, I also got in trouble with them. So when I wasn't trying to get the wrath of them. My mother had five brothers and sisters, so I wasn't trying to catch that. You see what I'm saying? On top of when my mom was working, I was at home a lot by myself, but my next-door neighbor kept an eye on me. So you think about it. If I get caught with a dude coming in that house, I got my neighbor on my butt first, because she gonna come and she's handling it first. My mom come home, it's over. Then my mom done called my aunts and uncles. So to me, it wasn't worth it. You see what I'm saying?
And not to cut you off, but I want to get this out before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids back then, including myself, this is how I used to think. If I do this, boy, I'm going to get told up when I get to the house.
Right.
It was a fear factor. It wasn't
a
fear like I'm scared of my parents. It's a fear of if I do this, I know what time it is and I get home and I'm not trying to, you know what I mean? It was all about your consequence before you went out and did something. You know what I mean? You didn't just, these kids these days, they don't care because there ain't no daddies in the home anymore.
Nope.
The mamas in there can only do so much. So there's nobody, and people in the neighborhoods nowadays, I don't care if you live in a suburban neighborhood, I don't care if you live in the hood, everybody's really minding their own business.
Right. But it goes back to what I said, though, too, Taj, about a village raising kids. That village has now separated, and nobody wants to be involved anymore. Because, I mean, when I was little, you know, like I said, I didn't just get in trouble with my mom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got in trouble with everybody. I got in trouble with whoever caught me. I got in trouble with my mother. You know what I'm saying? So we need to go back to where adults are not fearing these kids, because that's their whole problem. They think, I was watching a YouTube thing, another one. This is how I see a lot of this stuff. It was in Atlanta where this young lady was on the, what's it called? The train, is that what it's called? Their subway, and it was an elderly woman on there, and out the clear blue sky, this young lady just started talking about this whole lady. I mean, she was just calling her out of her name. And this little old woman didn't do anything to her. This woman was minding her business, and it pissed me off because I'm thinking, first of all, I'm sitting back in my mind saying, if this was my grandmother and I'm watching this little girl talk crazy to my grandmother, I can only imagine what I'm going to do to her because you disrespected my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting back and then I'm looking at a young man finally, after so long, stepped up and said something to her. And then she jumps to the little dude, and then she talking about, you that dude I'm looking for that raped me. I'm thinking this broad done flipped completely out. She had to be on drugs or something, because for no apparent reason, her mind is just snapping. For what? You know what I'm saying? She really, that whole video, some things I think shouldn't even be put on TV or put on the computer or the internet for anyone to see, because it's so embarrassing just to us as a race. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
what these teens are doing.
I think really, like, you know, with these teens so high on want to have sex so much, like I said, it goes back to what I said earlier in the broadcast, that they got so much access to that stuff. They got the computers, they got the iPods, laptops, you know, of course, TV, radio, magazines. I mean, they have so much access to it that it's hard to, you can only do so much. Really, you know, if you're too strict on your kids, they're going to sneak and do it anyway, and it's going to be 10 times worse. So if they, you know, if you sit down and talk with them, and still give them their freedom, but still sit down and talk to them. Maybe then, I think that's the best way, because I've seen over and over again where parents were strict on a girl. You're not going to leave out this house. You're not going to no parties, no slumber parties, no sleepovers, no nothing. You're going to be a nun to the
time they were in high school.
Yeah, you're going to be a nun to your 40. And what ends up happening is them be the biggest freaks. They out there turning it out. They loose because their parents had a hold on them. Now, the parents that did let their child go out and have a little bit of a life and freedom and so forth, they talked to them. Now, some of them listened, and then that happened to them. A lot of them didn't listen. And, you know, the end result is you walking with your daughter, you know, through the mall, and some little young boy walking past laughing at your daughter because they just got done turning out the night before.
You know, and it's messed up because I have three girls in my household and one son. And me being my mom's only child, this is a lot for me. You know what I'm saying? Two are mine and two are adopted. Okay? My choice. That's fine. I'm a single parent. I'm not ever trying to be their friend, but I do try to communicate with them to let them know that it is okay that you talk to me about some things. Like you said, after a certain time, there's a lot of things I probably don't want to know. But if you have questions about sex, if you felt like what I've told you wasn't enough, because my mom never talked to me about sex, but I was just too scared to get caught. See what I'm saying? So my whole thing about that is, if I can come to mind and start them off at a young age, which I think I talked to him. I think I started with my son, 13 or 14. I set him down because, you know, that's a prime age for these young men. I mean, if you're still a virgin at 14 for a young black male or a young man, period, your boys is laughing at you. You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to talk to him just to let him know, it's okay for you to come and talk to me. Now, I can't be your mother and your father, but I'm going to be your mother, and I'm going to tell you what I know. And then we'll pull your dad off to the side if you feel like you can't talk to your dad, and I'll try to explain to him what you want to know, and then he can explain it to you on a male perspective. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we lose a whole lot of stuff. I joke a lot with my kids, but I try to tell them, in the same token, I talk to them in reality. I say certain things around them, and they be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Okay, but your friends talk to you like that, and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep it real with you, and I'm going to talk to you on my level, and then I'm going to talk to you on your level. But I know that you're being talked to some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I know that these little men, hey, baby, look at that booty, and woo, woo, woo. I know all that. It's just to the point where they don't care because I look as young as my girls do. So when they saying this stuff, of course, their eyes is getting big because they're like, oh, I can't believe you just said this in front of my mother or you just said this in front of my auntie. And then the dude is looking stupid because you thought I was her sister. But my whole hype is, where is the respect? You see what I'm saying? You shouldn't be talking to her whether I was her auntie, her mother, her sister, whatever the case may be, you shouldn't even be talking to her like that in the first place. It just all stems from these TV shows, these movies, these videos, and all that.
Yeah. Let me, Carla, you had a statement you wanted to make.
Yeah, it's certain things. You know, sometimes, it was respect. You know, it's a disagreeing thing. Sometimes you can't, we can't blame the TV. We can't blame the videos, you know, because here it is, right? I'm going to tell you, my oldest son is a senior chemical engineering major, right, at Oklahoma State University, one of the top engineering universities in the nation, right? And if you pushing a CD in his car, you know, I'd be like, God, man. And I never stopped them from listening or doing everything. He's 23 years old right now, okay, getting ready to graduate in December. So, you know, and my thing, he's grown, but it's what I taught him. You understand? My youngest son, you know, also, he cooks, he cleans, he go to church, and he's still a virgin to this day, and I can tell you that. You know, when everybody want to go out and calling him to go to parties and different things like that, you know, he sit around the house or he going somewhere else. You know, now he getting ready to study biology on a football scholarship, you know. And, you know, yeah, he's 200-something pounds, 6'1", but nobody never messed with him in high school. You understand? He was, I mean, top of the leader and everything else. You see what I'm saying? So it's what the parents bring to these kids, how they teach these kids. You know, my daughter sitting up here, when she became a woman, when she stood up here and had a first period, she didn't go to nobody else. She didn't call no woman. She didn't call her aunt, the grandmother and all that other good stuff. She knocked on my door, and she came to me. You understand? So we have to take that, you know, and, yeah, they watch these things, and I know they watch it. And I know different things like that. They got a TV in the room. They got a computer in the room. But look at their grades. Look at the respect. They're here. You know, if a mother sit up here and call me to this day and I want my daughter to stay with her daughter, you have to come through me. I don't know you. You know, come talk to me.
I agree with you totally on that.
I'm about to see this too. And it goes for kids, no matter what race you are, what kind of household you live in, whether it's rich or poor. I have witnessed from all angles with girls over the years. And it's amazing to me that, to me, the ones that are most messed up sometimes is the ones who have the, you know, the rich household. Because what it is, you know, they have such a great life that sometimes they get it, you know, their parents are so busy that their kids get bored. So they start differing off and they start venturing off into different things. You know, drugs, maybe sex, whatever it is. Now, when you go to, you know, lower income neighborhoods, like what we call the hood or something like that, okay, well, the parents are around in that aspect, but they're not around. They're around physically, but not around mentally or verbally to the kids. So the TV does become your
parent.
Yeah, your parent. The music does become, because you don't really have nobody there to just influence you. Your parent is listening to the same music you're listening to. You know what I'm saying? You have your parents are watching the same thing you're watching on TV. You know, when I was growing up, there was old school music, and I wasn't allowed to listen to no rap. Okay? When I was growing up, I had the cartoons. My parents was watching 227 or watching something older. You know, we weren't watching the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it wasn't, you know, it was like, so that's what I see in different variations when it comes to kids in different households. So I think the TV and the music does play somewhat of a part when you have a child who has, like, an identity crisis. They don't really know who they are. Okay, yeah, my daddy, my mother, they're all successful. We have a big house. We got all this money. But really, who am I, though? Okay? I don't really have nothing to identify myself with. So some kids identify themselves with other things. If you go to the hood or something like that, you know, you only got a couple choices. No, most kids feel like they live in lower income neighborhoods. They only got a few choices to make it. And if their parents didn't give them something to, you know, to do as far as activity wise, or maybe figure out what it is they like, they go out and venture out and try to find out who they are. So that TV and stuff does become somewhat of an influence when you have an identity crisis, and you really, and you're a teenager, you don't know who you are, and you're trying to figure that out, and you don't have nobody to help you.
And then you have a lot of these kids are idolizing. They're no longer idolizing realistic stuff. They're idolizing materialistic stuff. They're idolizing everybody. How many dudes you want to know want to be T.I. and Lil Wayne? You know, because they're looking at, okay, here Lil Wayne was. He lived in Louisiana in the ghetto. Sixth Ward, is that what it's called? Whatever.
The ninth ward or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, well, he lived in the ghetto in Louisiana. Now he's got all this money, and he's doing all this, and he's doing all that. And they idolize that. They want to be Lil Wayne. So then he's always talking about doing everything under the sun from X to everything else. You know what I'm saying? And these young women and these girls, oh, my God, he's so sexy and he's this and he's that. You hear little girls, you know what I'm saying? That's my husband, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, where are you ladies getting this? Where are you, you know, why? What is so sexy about him? He's got a gang of tattoos. He's got full of gold. You know, he's not sexy.
I'll answer that with this. Because they're not promoting the Lupe Fiascos. They're not promoting the Commons. They're not promoting the Kanye. You know, these are not people that you hear about more than the Lil Wayne's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not that because since rap has, when rap started exploding, sex was selling. So they, violence, sex, and money was the three things that was selling. Like, look at the NWA's Two Shorts. That is what sold. So that's what they continue to promote and put in front of our faces. They weren't promoting the positive music to where that made a difference. Spoken word is one of the most powerful things out there, and you rarely hear about it. Why? Because they know it can change the minds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're so infatuated with Plies and Lil Wayne and Trick Daddy and the Rick Rosses, because it's an image that they believe that they're trying to steal off into the viewer that makes them believe that, okay, I could really. This is what it is. That's not reality. That's entertainment. These dudes go, but that's when people don't understand it. But we get off track. But it's an image, and they're attracted to that because nobody's told them in their household that's entertainment. That ain't real. These dudes do not do this every day, all day. They go home to big mansions and so forth. These young girls that you see on these videos, they sit there and get paid a certain amount of money to do this. Then they go home. This is not what life is. This is not what life is right here. So you don't have that. So these young girls who do not get that education, and I'm more so talking about the young girls because it's, you know, it's bad when you see, you know, 10-year-olds and, you know, 11-year-olds out here getting knocked up because somebody was out there watching.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
You know.
And she 20 and her child 10. That's not, you know, you barely out of school yourself, you know, and then here you are with a 10-year-old sitting in the 4th, 5th grade, and the teacher calls and you don't even have enough common sense to hold an adult conversation with the teacher.
My sister is, she is into church very deeply, her and her husband both, and my nephews and niece, they probably couldn't tell you 5 rap songs off the top of their head because all they listen to, all they know is gospel. I've gotten into the car with them, and the first thing they asked for was a gospel song. They had an artist they had in their mind, and that's what they want to listen. They know all the words to that song. Okay? They don't know Lollipop.
Right.
You know, they don't know that. So it's all about what you continuously put into the mindset of your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have that problem. I've been guilty of playing rap around my kids because I grew up on rap. I didn't grow up on the Ronald Isleys. You know, I'm 29, so I was born in 79, so I didn't grow up on that. I grew up on, you know, the hip-hop age after I got a certain age. So that's what I'm in love with. So I listen to that all the time. But I try to take that CD out and put some R&B in or something else in for them to listen to.
Right.
You know, because it does make a difference. Everything from what you watch.
I am glad that I can say that my kids are pretty diverse when it comes to music. They can listen to country and enjoy it. They can listen to rock and enjoy it. Rap. I personally don't listen to a lot of rap, so I really can't tell you a whole lot of things, but I'm sure that they can tell you. But then in the same time, they hear a gospel song, and they can tell you that song too. So they're pretty well-rounded as far as being musically inclined, and then sometimes that might be good, because if you find a country song that you like and you sitting here bobbing your head to this country song, you know what I'm saying, that's okay. If there's a punk rock song that you like and you really like that song, that's still okay. So that just means that you're able to be a well-rounded person. You're not someone that's just stuck in this little shell, you know what I'm saying, as far as this is all I know.
I want to ask our caller, 580. I want to get everybody, you know, you, Jackie, and I'm going to get my opinion. We got about 19, a little under 20 minutes to go. I want to know, like, off the top of your head, if you can think of 3 to 5 things that you think that we can do, that's what parents can do, to minimize the chance of kids when I'm having sex young, unprotected sex, too, at that. Let me add that in there, and increase their mental on other things outside of what people are trying to influence them with every day.
See, the first and foremost, right, quit the friendship deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They are not your friend. Okay? And a lot of parents have that inclination, well, you know, we can be friends one time, and it's not that. You are the disciplinarian. You are the parent. You are the adult. And we have to take that out of the equation. The next thing, when your kid comes home, sit at the table. You know, talk to that kid. You know, find out how that day went. And pretty soon you'll see the kid will tell you everything that goes on in school. Right? Read. Y'all sit up there and read to each other. Okay? You know, if you don't know something, right, a kid asks you a question, don't ever say you will find out and never get back to that kid. Always find out and come back and tell that kid exactly what you found out about, you know. And that's one of the things that we as parents don't do. The next thing is, do not bring individual into your house with your male or female child. All right, for me personally, in 13 years, my kids have never seen nobody sleep in this bed or come out past the bathroom, okay, much less a woman. The only woman that they know came into this house was a Mary Kay lady who bought my daughter some things when she was young. I used to buy it from her. At 9 o'clock, she had to leave the house. Wrote the check, and you got to go. Okay? And I always sit up here and set the example. Right? Going to the schools. Constantly. I don't care. Just walk into the schools anytime, you know. And you'll see what the kid's doing. You know, but it's one statement that you had made as far as the music is concerned. Right? When kids go to school, they will hear all kinds of things. So, I, you know, for me, this is just a personal belief. I don't believe parents should, you know, keep themselves, you know, just listening to one different set of music. Open up your mind, because if you don't, the kid will open up their mind, right, open up your mind for you in the long run. Because, trust me, when they're in school, they are hearing everything. Their kids are cursing. Kids are telling them what they did. Kids are listening what they're listening to. And you know, they have these little iPods and different things. They will let their son or daughter listen to so on and so forth. So you have to be aware of what the kids are doing constantly, so you will stay one step above.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I think that's more than five. But you know, those are the things. Yeah, those are the things that we have to do. We as parents always have to stay one step above our kids. And in order to do that, you have to sit up here and know what they're listening to, see what they're watching, even if you have to sit up there and watch it for a little while. Don't worry about that, right? You're only watching it and you're only hearing it to educate yourself on what your son or daughter is doing out there when they're not with you. Because trust me, and you said it on the note, right? They don't watch it at home. They don't hear it at home. But when they walk outside, when they walk onto the mall, when they go over here to the store, some kid's playing this. And they're listening.
Yep. All right, Jackie. Go ahead, take a few minutes and tell me what do you think?
I pretty much agree with the caller, but I also think that communication is the biggest key, and I think that we need to try to get it to where, again, it just goes back to the old school where villages are helping to raise these kids. I think that we should keep our kids active, keep our kids involved in doing things to kind of keep them, because I think if they sit at home and do nothing, that gives them so much time to think of devious things to do. You know, I try to keep my kids as busy as possible. I have them in dance troops. I have them, you know, going here, going there, being a part of this, being a part of that. Get in a sport. Find some, you know, find something to do, and then, you know, just keep them busy so that when it comes down to that time, they're probably so caught up in. If I'm just as an example, if I use my girls as an example, with me having them in the dance class that they're in, they travel, they do different dances, they're doing different stuff. So I'm thinking in my mind, you're not gonna want to be having sex because one, if it's unprotected and you get pregnant, you can't dance no more. You know what I'm saying? And my kids are dancing where they're opening up, doing, you know, performing at our Pacer games and halftime shows and doing this and doing that. You can't do all that with a baby. So if I keep your mind busy.
I'm sorry.
And I'm just thinking, if I keep your mind busy on things that you enjoy, then you enjoy it so much that you don't want to be set back. And there was another thing that I did too with my girls, and I make them babysit. Because I have, you know, relatives that have younger kids, and they babysit. And they babysit and realize, you know what, I think I'm going to wait because I don't want this right now. You know what I'm saying? Because this is too much. If it's too much just to babysit and you know that child is going home, what would you do if that's your own and you can't send it home? So you give them communication to me and then just give them something to do to keep their mind off of the devious things, that other things that they could be doing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to piggyback on what both of you guys have said, and I'm going to, first thing is first, communication, because you got to be willing to talk to your kids. I talked to my kids. I had conversations with them, deep conversations about life in general, about how life would be, you know, if you happen to lose your parents, you have to utilize people around you while they are here. Learn from them, you know, respect them and learn from them, because these are going to be things that you're going to use in your life. You're going to need to know these things to be able to succeed in life. That's one thing. Two, flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
I let my kids, you know, I'm hard on them, but at the same time, I'm relaxed too, because if you're too hard on them, then you're going to lose them. Well, not necessarily lose them, but they're going to do what they want to do behind your back. I want them to be able to be comfortable enough to come to me. And I'm going to be comfortable to know everything that they're doing. I don't want them to hide anything. Okay? One thing I'm going to piggyback on what Jackie said and Carl said, keeping them busy. I've been killing myself trying to figure out how to keep my kids busy, but also how to schedule it because they do not live with me.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to keep them, my son, football, karate, basketball, my daughter, piano, dancing, acting, because that's what they like. So trying to keep them busy, because the more busy they stay, the less time they got to worry about TV, PlayStation, all the stuff that they're thinking about when they're not doing anything, but they're doing something productive. They're gonna care more about what that is than versus they're not gonna even want to see all that stuff, because they're gonna be too excited about the next thing they gotta go do, because you know they're constantly busy all the time. So I believe keeping your kids active in activities. You know, being flexible with them, but also communication. Respect is another thing. And keeping them in church. Letting them understand exactly how deep it really is when it comes to church, God, GFB, God, family business.
Yeah.
Keeping them, they really have to understand what that really means. Because most kids just know, they know the word Jesus, they know God, they know the verbiage, but they don't really understand what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
And
they know
so,
it, but they don't know it.
They know, but they don't know, and so they must know. because they're taking prayer out of everything. They're taking God out of everything in every aspect of life right now. So you really have to take your own time out to do. And a lot, I would say this too. I know a lot of parents, including myself, it's hard sometimes because you're trying to do all this and also, you know, do what you have to do in your own personal time, in your own life, and conduct all this over here. So some parents might have harder times trying to orchestrate it and find some organization and getting all that, doing all that. Some parents, it's nothing to them. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, blah, 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 blah. So I might even set up like a SOP or something like that, like a guideline of how to do certain things. You know, different ideas for parents out there who are struggling with that concept. Because not all kids live with their parents. So if you got parents in split households, they got a certain amount of time over here, a certain amount of time over here.
Right.
And you got to be able to conduct that. So
and make sure that the households are not so much, even though they're in two separate households, but it needs to feel like that they're in one household, even though they're over there.
Well, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
That's hard to do, and I'm speaking from personal experience because the way you conduct your house is not going to be the same way you can go.
Right, but I'm not
person.
Saying the exact same way, but I'm just saying, like, let's say if my son is in trouble at home and he goes over Dad's house, if he's on punishment at home, Dad should
be,
don't think just because you're here, I'm going to let you do whatever everything that you're not supposed to do at home. We can still kick it. You know, and maybe we can do a little this or a little that to offset what you can't do. But if your mother said no, don't think that you're going to come over here and do it, and I'm going to say yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean as far as that.
And the caller, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You mentioned something early in the chat room about it's time for people, I'm not to say this on the show, that people have to start taking action. And that is very true. And the action that, and everybody has to play their own part, so I truly believe you have to lead by example. Okay, so we all have to lead first, but also we have to make sure we're not slipping in ourselves because our kids are actually watching us. Our kids are watching, they listening to us too. So if we slipping, they're not going to pay no attention to us because they just like adults in some things. They know if you saying one thing but doing another, you're not talking about nothing. So we also got to make sure that we're not slipping in ourselves and what we you know what I mean, what we're doing, so they make sure they follow and correct and follow suit in the correct way. But we, an action that I take as far as helping, you know, community-wise, is this talk show. You know, I'm actually working on being a motivational speaker so I can go out here and speak to people and things of that nature. But I use this talk show as a way of getting this type of information out because I don't think everybody's doing exactly how I'm doing it. So I believe that if people the action that's going to be taken, if people's support was positive, especially within our community, then things will start to change slowly. It's not going to change dramatically at one time, but if one person can tell me that they listen to our show, this show, or any other thing that we've done, and they say, you know what y'all said on that show helped me, then we all collectively done our part. When callers call into this show, they don't have to call and just give a comment and get off the air. We're going to all talk. It's going to be a whole panel discussion. And that's what happened last night. A guy called in and said, I'm surprised you guys didn't kick me off by now. Well, this is a community type thing. We all going to talk about things. So I don't want people just hearing my opinion or Jackie's opinion. We all need to have our own so people can listen to everything and take what we say and go and analyze it for themselves and then pick out something, you know, figure it out for themselves. So that's the action that, you know, I'm taking as far as helping the community, is doing this show. And I'm actually going out here and speaking and making my presence known and telling people and grabbing about it, and grabbing these kids' hands and telling them, look, you know, that ain't right. Because they may not have nobody at home doing that for them.
Right. And that's the biggest problem. They may not have anybody, you know, at home. They the streets is their home.
Yep.
And some kids are like that.
Caller, I definitely want to appreciate you calling in. I believe you, like I said before, I think you have called in before. I remember your voice, and I'm glad when you call. When you call, you always come with it, and I appreciate that a lot.
Anytime, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey, have a blessed day, bro.
You too, brother.
Yes, sir.
Your co-host.
All right.
You do the same, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. You know, I want to thank that call for calling in, and that's what I like. That's why I keep this show going. Jackie knows sometimes I don't know, I feel like doing this show. I was dead tired today, been tired yesterday from this, you know, from working this job real heavy. And I just and everything every day before we get on this air, I always shoot a quick prayer out for listeners, for callers, and for everything to come out the right way. Because I definitely, this is real to me. This is just not a fluke. This is not like a hobby or something. This is something that I really want. This is what I really want. So the people like the last caller and other callers who've called in consistently, that lets me know I'm doing something good, I'm doing something right, because they continue to tune in, they continue to listen in. I need everybody to do that. This is just not like, you know, when I send text messages out on my phone or email blasts out, this is just not like, oh, he's got a show and we might or may not listen to it. No, this is something. This is what I want. This is what's real. This is real to me. This ain't no joke.
Real talk, the issues of the day, you know?
Yeah, this is, you know, you're hearing from me right now, the new voice of the people. You know, new voice of the people. I'm getting kind of irritated. I'm a little sleepy. But, you know, I'm getting irritated because people really need to understand this is not a joke. This is just not another thing that I'm doing or nothing like that. This is a purpose behind this entire thing of called Issues of Today. We talk about every issue of today. Every issue we talk about is about today. Okay? And the new voice of the people, when I speak. Yeah, and when I speak from the hearts of those who I experienced things with, or I've seen it, or I've heard it. I'm trying to tell you, this is what it is. And I'm going to tell it like this. Ain't nobody really out there doing what I'm doing right now. Do you hear me? As my homie T. Gray would say, do you hear me? Nobody's doing, we all doing some of the same things, but they can't do me and I can't do them.
Right.
So definitely I want to appreciate everybody who called in, listened in. Please rate the show. Go in there, rate the show, comment about the show, take the polls, get added to the emailing list, okay? If you want to be a guest on the show, it's nothing. Send me an email to issuesoftoday@yahoo.com. Pick a topic. Let's talk about it. Let's change somebody's life. That's what this is about. You know, y'all,
it's
we got to
like
get serious Nike about
just-
It is just do it. We got to get serious about what's going on right here. If this is what it is. Issues of the Day Talk Radio. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be right here. I want to celebrate today. And I want to do this real quick before we leave, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Issues of the Day officially hit 50 shows.
All right.
That is a huge accomplishment, because anybody who knows what I'm doing, we are trying to get to 100 episodes by December of 2008, and this is actually episode 51, all right? Nobody's doing what we're doing out here, man. Every day of the week, this is what you can find right here. Topics, great discussion, intellectual conversations, okay? Episode 51, we reached 50 yesterday, and we on the road to 100. They ain't going to stop. We're going to keep it going, because this is what it is, and this is what's going to help people, and this is going to help change lives. Just like they do in the church, we're doing it with Issues of Today Talk Radio. Lord is leading the way, so with him leading the way, ain't nothing going to stop this. Jackie.
Yes, sir. All right.
Please pop my foot up, put some ice on it. You have a great night. Another great show. We're going to bang it out here Monday.
Ooh.
It's over for the week. Teenagers. Yeah. Teenagers, last word from me, keep it in your pants.
Okay.
Trust me. Because AIDS is real, which means somebody got it. STDs are real, which means somebody got it. All right.
And as always. And as always.
Go ahead.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and get it.
All right. Hey, you know the word. Love each other as you expect to be loved. All right. 100. Thank you for listening. God bless.
God bless everybody. Bye-bye.